how my day go. Put up a phone, not a blueberry fango. One false move and we straight to joints. Two small bands just to take you out real quick. Three more, pull up, I'm f***ing shit. That's how it goes. Big bands, I'm coming shit.
Live from the Stone Academy Medical Assisting Studio.
WZMX FM and WZMX HD1 Hartford. Always on radio.com. Radio.com. Hot 93.7.
It's time to stop the music and let the voices be heard. Call 860-674-9307 and let's talk.
Hello?
It's time for Voices with your host, DJ Big Man, on Hot 93.7.
Okay, another edition of Voices here on Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Big Man here, and if you've been tuned in for the last few weeks, you know exactly what we're doing, man. We talk about the pressing issues, those things that most of my listeners may have questions about. Sometimes there are questions that I may have or people here in the studio. But what we want to do is maybe discuss some of these things and discuss it from a genuine point. And hopefully at some point we'll be able to come up with some answers. And in the in-between time, we'll have a chance to talk to people who are doing big things in the community, things that may be of interest to us. All right. And it's not just here in Connecticut, but it's in Western Massachusetts and as well as Long Island, New York, because we have a reach out there as well. So for those people who are interested in being a part of the show. All right. You can send me an email at bigevents, bigevents@gmail.com. Or you can reach me here at the radio station at 1-800-488-9307. But this week is my honor to have a special guest on the line. I want to make sure that I say this the way it's supposed to be said, okay? She's the assistant principal at High School of Commerce in Springfield, okay? I have Dr. Jada Waters on the line. Jada, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, we want to jump right in. Let's, first of all, give us a background of some of the things you're doing, because you're doing a lot of stuff right now. And then we'll break it down piece by piece, because these may be some things of interest and some programs that people really need to know about. And they may be looking for something similar to this, and they didn't even know that it existed. So let's go.
Let's go. So my name is Dr. Jada Waters. I'm the assistant principal at the High School of Commerce in Springfield, Mass. I currently am the assistant principal of College and Career Readiness. For those of you who do not know, the High School of Commerce is the only school in the Springfield Public School District that offers three-tiered dual enrollment programs. So we have a dual enrollment partnership with Wetzel State University, which is one of our transitional dual enrollment partnerships, and I'll explain that in a little bit. We have a partnership with Worcester State University and also Springfield Technical Community College. We also have an internship partnership with this organization called Propel America, where they offer seniors a workplace readiness skills course, mm-hmm. and then they have the opportunity to participate in a certificate program at Springfield Technical Community College, where they get a paid internship and a mentor to guide them along the way.
Wow.
And this year, I'm not done. I know.
No.
This year, we're offering our first ever postgraduate program, where we have 23 students who deferred their high school diploma to take college classes with our support with wraparound services and mentorship, because the research says that students who graduate from high school and go on to college usually report that they're not prepared. So we want to provide students with an opportunity to prepare them, give them the resources so they know how to navigate and own any college campus that they step onto.
Whoa, that's a lot to unpack here. All right. Wow. Yeah. Voices. All right. First, before we start unpacking this, because you, as someone who's working in the education system, one of the biggest questions that I'm getting right now is in regards to back to school. All right. Because, I mean, in Connecticut, in some places, they have a plan that they're going back to school in September, I believe, first or second week of September. I think it may be a little bit different in Massachusetts. But what's your genuine thought on back to school? Because there's so many unanswered questions. There's so many I don't knows. And what's your feeling as someone who, you know, you've seen the pros and cons, you're in the trenches, so to speak. So you deal with the students. You understand the difficulties, and you understand, you know, where there may be some weak links, where there may be some, you know, miscommunications, where there may be some need for improvement. What's your thought going for going into the next few weeks? Because we're talking about something that's maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks away. What's your thoughts? I mean, and you know, when I say that, more so on the level of you personally, is there like a fear piece to it? Is there a concern piece to it? I know we spoke about some different concerns, so let's put that out there.
So I'm going to speak to you as an educator and a parent. Okay. I have a child who will be fully remote. My thing is safety first. Mm-hmm. Safety is the number one priority. So although it's a very tough decision, it puts people in a lot of different tough positions, especially if you're a working parent like myself. It will put you in a tough position, but we have to think about the number one thing, which is safety. So I appreciate our school committee and our district really putting our children's safety first. So we are going to be doing remote learning in the Springfield Public Schools, and we're going to be starting on September 15th. With that being said, there is a lot of work being put in place where, one, the school district, Springfield Public Schools in particular, has provided every student with a laptop so students could have access to be able to do the remote learning. Two, we have food sites, multiple food sites across the city where parents and families could come in, no ID needed to pick up breakfast and lunch, and they also have dinner 5 days out of the week, and we also provide fresh produce. So we're meeting those basic needs, which are critically important for the success of our students and the health of our community. And we're also providing our teachers with a bunch of professional development. They are really working hard around the clock to make sure that they're on point and on track for Google Classroom and that they have the tools and resources that they need. So even though we're all in a tough situation, I support safety first. Mm-hmm. So our kids' safety, my safety, as an administrator in school, I will be exposed to students and teachers, and I just want to make sure that I'm safe and my family is safe. So safety is the number one priority when it comes to the remote learning.
Right. Now, we spoke a couple of days ago, and what I said to you was that I feel like maybe going into this, going into the summer months, it was the thought, okay, well, you know, we'll be back in school by September. And so now things aren't progressing in terms of things opening up and more answers and so on when it comes to COVID and everything else. Doesn't seem like there's the progress that everyone expected. And so it seems to me like we didn't prepare, so to speak, prepare for war in a time of peace. So during these summer months, it seems like, you know, everyone took that as a time to let's take a breather, let's relax, let's chill out. And now we are at crunch time, and it's like, okay, we got to make these decisions. We got to figure this out. We got to figure that out because we don't know if it's safe to go back, but maybe we need to go back. And so it's this scramble because even let's just say everyone just boom went back to school in the next couple weeks. If there's a situation like we've been seeing in different places where there becomes an outbreak here, an outbreak there, and then it's the scale back thing, if we had some things in place beforehand, this wouldn't be such a difficult task to handle at this time. What are your thoughts regarding that?
So my thoughts regarding it is when we first got hit with COVID-19 back in March, I think it was a really tough transition for everyone because we did not know, right? We didn't know kind of like how to prepare for it. Right. It just kind of happened to us. And although we were charged with the task to kind of plan for a hybrid, plan to go back or plan to go remotely, we were putting like three different plans in place. And I just remember working with my admin team, just trying to figure out like, okay, what do we need to do to put in place to make sure that our students feel empowered, that they're safe, our teachers feel empowered, that they're safe, and that we feel empowered and that we have a choice in what we're doing. So even though there was a a little bit of a waiting period of kind of what the next steps were going to be. I do feel like we're more prepared than what we were when COVID first started.
Okay.
And I do appreciate that we have more time to prep and to get students and families and teachers access to the resources that they need and also to the professional development that they need in order to carry out a successful year with remote learning. And I say year, not that it's going to be a year, but for Springfield in particular, we are going to do the first quarter. And I know the school committee is going to come back and revisit it to see what our next steps are going to be.
Okay.
But I think we were provided with a little bit of an opportunity to get more prepared than what we were when we were faced with the pandemic back in March.
All right. Okay. Once again, if you're joining us, we have Dr. Jada Waters on the line. She's the assistant principal for the High School of Commerce, correct? In Springfield.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now.
Proud Red Raider.
Yes. Let's talk about the program that you have in place. It seems like this program possibly does a very, very, a very almost thorough job at preparing students for college, because you mentioned with one of the programs that you give them that opportunity to experience college first. Mm-hmm. And then, because it's very true. It's very true. Going from high school where, you know, parents are on your back, you got to do your homework. And then you go off to college and it's like, boom, you're in a free world. And I move by my own rules. I do what I want to do. And if someone isn't prepared for that, that's a complete shock, a complete and total shock. Because, you know, when I went off to college, there were parties going on, there's activities going on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now it's like, whoa, this is a lot. I have to figure out, you know, I still want to be a part of the scene. I mean, the reality of it is, you know, you're talking 17, 18, 19 years old. You're out on your own. There's all types of parties. There's all types of events. There's everything, all types of gatherings, different things to be a part of. But you also have to put in the schoolwork. So you have to find that balance. And so this kind of becomes that first time that you're on your own. And I don't like to call it time management because we have the same 24 hours. It's action management. Or, you know, and so now you have to manage your actions, manage your steps throughout these 24 hours and make it work for you so that you're not suffering burnout and you're able to have that balance. So this program is very interesting to me. And what I want to know is if you've received any resistance going into this program or starting this program. And if so, how did that go?
So we have not received any resistance for this program. For those of you who live in the Springfield community, there has been this ongoing narrative about the pathways at the High School of Commerce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Commerce, I'm going to just be real honest and transparent with you. And those listeners and viewers from Springfield, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you say the High School of Commerce, the narrative has gone down. A bad school, a school where nobody wants to be. Many of our students don't choose Commerce because in Springfield there's a bunch of different high schools and there's a ballot, and many students, you know, choose some of the other schools, and not a lot of students really choose Commerce. And that's because they don't know what's going on at the High School of Commerce. So we didn't get a lot of resistance at all. We actually was welcomed with open arms with many of our partners wanting to bring the old school narrative back to the High School of Commerce, because Commerce is known as the business school. So we're trying to bring that back, offering our three different dual enrollment partnerships. We're not a one-size-fits-all school. We have three-tier dual enrollment programs where we're providing almost every student with an opportunity to participate in a college course with a bunch of supports, because we think that it's critically important to allow a student to dream. You don't know what to dream about if you've never had access to something, right? If you don't think you could do it, how could you dream? And as an educator, I spent my whole entire career, and this is my 16th year in education, I spent my whole entire career working in dual enrollment, early college, college and career readiness. And I just think that this is an opportunity that I want to provide all students, not just at the High School of Commerce, but like everywhere, with an option and an opportunity to participate in college courses. And in order to do that, you have to meet students where they are. You have to meet parents where they are. You have to meet partners where they are, so they could really provide students with an opportunity to further their education, whether they go to college, do a trade, or jump into a career. As long as you provide them with access to the resources, like, it's important. So as far as getting resistance, we didn't get resistance at all. Folks opened up to us with open arms, wanting to know, like, what can we do to support you? I want to help change the narrative about the High School of Commerce. Our mayor of Springfield is a High School of Commerce graduate. Mm-hmm. We have many members in the Springfield community who are proud Red Raider graduates who have been opening their arms and extending their arms out to support what we're trying to do.
Mm. Wow. Once again, voices right here on Hot 93.7, hot937.com. We have Dr. Jada Waters on the line. She's the assistant principal for the High School of Commerce in Springfield, Mass. And you said something very interesting. Meet people where they are, whether it's students, parents, staff. I think, and, you know, this is just based off discussions. I think that that may have been possibly one of the most difficult pieces in this new learning process, at least during, you know, during the last semester of school and everything else. I think that was the most difficult part, because that's where maybe there was a breakdown in communication, there was a breakdown in understanding. There's a wide variety of students. Let's say there's 20 students in a classroom. That's 20 different situations and 20 different circumstances that kind of hit you all at once when you're faced with this. So that had to be a difficult part of that learning curve on the part of the staff, as well as the students and the parents. How does that play out as this continues to go on? Because now we have to think about the mental health piece to this, whereas students were, you know, young kids. Think about it. The young kids were kind of robbed of their summer because of this. Limited activities, a lot of summer programs, gone. So now you have these restless children coming back to school, and now the request is, in some instances, stay at home, still stay in the house, you know, get on this computer, do what we tell you to do. No, you can't go anywhere, but still do this. I think there needs to be something put in place to maybe address that, and even the burden that's on the parents, because most parents have been working from home. So, you know, depending on your living space, everything, you know, for a certain part of the day becomes, my office is in this corner, your classroom is in this corner, your classroom is in this corner, your classroom is here. So I think it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to get better as time goes on, the longer people are at home. But then again, does it get better opening up the schools? And so this becomes a difficulty. So now, I think there needs to be something put in place to address the mental health, not only of the students, but of the parents, even of some of the staff, because it becomes difficult because they may see situations through, I know a lot of people have been doing Zoom learning and different things like that. They may see situations that they were never aware of, and it starts to affect them because they're thinking about that one student, or they're thinking about that two or three students. So I think that there needs to be, you know, more so than just, oh, let's send them back to school. Let's get them back. Let's get everything back to normal. It's like, that's kind of difficult to do if we're not addressing the elephant in the room, so to speak.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you asking this question, because I think it's a really, really important question. Mm-hmm. And there's many components to the question, so I'm going to unpack it.
Okay.
For it to flow in one way. So for one, I think that this pandemic has really opened the eyes to not only educators, but people, the community, everyone, that school is a safe haven for many. right? Mm-hmm. School is a safe place for many students. It's a place where students learn, they build relationships, they have community. So to have that kind of taken away from them, there is a lot of stress that comes with that. Now, I'm a parent, I'm a single parent who works at from home as an assistant principal with a now-to-be fourth grader. And I just remember kind of like navigating the space, like navigating different areas of the house. Like, I'm going to be here, you're going to go up in your room and you're going to work. And it's very hard. It's different working from home. I think that as a school administrator, all of my students at the High School of Commerce know that I'm present, I'm visible, and I'm there. And I just felt like being at home, there was a sense of like really missing my kids, really thinking about like, what are they doing? Where are they? Are they safe? What do they need? Just wanted to like give them a hug and say hi to them. Those things were like really, really bothering me while I was at home during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And as our school, we took a proactive step in order to figure out how we could best reach our students, right? Mm-hmm. So we came up with this primary person model where every adult, every teacher and staff member and administrator, including myself, every adult in the building got to take on 10 students. So within those 10 students, you made contact to the students and families, one, to see how they were doing. How are things going? Are you okay? Do you need anything? Try to find out what their basic needs are. And then we talked about education. Like, what do you need right now? Do you have access to a laptop? Do you have access to Wi-Fi? How can we support you during this pandemic? Do you have access to food? Our high school is a food site. Please come anytime if you need new resources. And then we were just checking in with the students, and we just started to keep a running list. And it was a very like great moment in time where the community, like the commerce staff and community, just stepped up and just came together, and we built relationships with our students. And as we were getting feedback, we were sending out surveys and getting feedback from the parents, and they were really excited knowing that like someone from the school was calling and checking up on their kid. Mm-hmm. And we're going to move forward and lead with that model because we want the students to know that we care about them as a student, we care about their family, and we care about their education, and that we're a family. Mm-hmm. So I just think that the primary person model that we design to make sure that we're reaching out to our students and at their basic needs, like even though we're not in the building, you can still reach us, whether it's by phone, by email, by social media, like you still have access to us and we're still going to support you and we're going to get through this together. Oftentimes our kids just need someone to check on them. Mm-hmm. Or to know that somebody's thinking about them at the from the High School of Commerce, and we're always thinking about our students and we're always working around the clock to make sure that we are providing them with as many resources as we can to make sure that they're successful.
Wow. Voices. It's happening right now. It's Hot 93.7, Hot937.com. Big man here. I have Dr. Jada Waters on the line, assistant principal of the High School of Commerce in Springfield. All right. We've talked about a couple programs that she has in place, and we've also talked about the back-to-school initiative and how that's working out. Now, here's something that's near and dear to me, because we already talked about, you know, maybe possibly providing some mental health counseling or something like that. And we know for the most part, in some inner city communities, that's almost like a bad word. Oh, mental health. Yeah. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. And I think a lot of times we associate that with something bad or a sign of weakness. I really think that, and I can't stress this enough, I really think it's important that we start to look at that as something to look into, especially for our kids. Absolutely. You know, we may be thinking, oh, they're fine, but really they're not. And sometimes, you know, the kids may be scared to express themselves. And so now, you know, when you start to see the slip in the grades and stuff like that, they're thinking, oh, it's because they're not doing anything because they have these freedoms at home. Maybe they're battling with something because they feel closed in and they need to talk mm-hmm. about that. So I think that becomes a conversation, and it's kind of difficult because now it's like, how do we do the parent-teacher meetings and how do we do these different things with all of this distant learning? But what would you like to see going forward that you feel is possibly missing in this process?
So first and foremost, I just want to share with the Black and Brown community that mental health is wealth. My best friend and line sister, I'm a part of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority and a part of the Pi Iota chapter, and we have some amazing licensed mental health social workers out there. So please check out the practice of Arthur Cash. Also check out Jocelyn Saylor, who is a really amazing social worker in the Hartford Public Schools, and she also does counseling up here in the Western Mass area. Mental health is wealth. I just want to encourage folks to really pay attention to your mental health. It is okay to talk to somebody. We all deal with things differently. So to have someone to help you kind of unpack how you're feeling and acknowledging those feelings and validating those feelings is super, super important. So I'm glad that you did talk a little bit about mental health. And I think that as educators and as a community, that we really need to be kind. I always try to lead with relentless kindness, because at the end of the day, me being kind to someone, I don't lose anything by being kind to someone. Smiling at someone, that could make someone's day. Telling them, like, hey, I just want to let you know that, you know, you look nice. Or I just want to just acknowledge that, you know, I know that things are tough right now, but I see that you're working really, really hard. Like, compliments, smiling, and just being kind to people is super important. And you could ask any of the educators in my school, I always try to lead with relentless kindness, because at the end of the day, it's not about me, and it's about sharing power and empowering people. So a way for us to do that is to just be a little nicer to people. Understand that we're all going through a pandemic, and that, you know, people have different things going on in their life. People's finances are at risk right now. People's houses are at risk. People's sanity, people are losing people. I know that in the Springfield community, when the pandemic first hit, many of our students lost, like, a lot of family members. So that's why when we created the primary person model, we wanted to be sure that we are starting the conversation off with our students' well-being.
Wow. This is a very important conversation here on Voices. And I've thought it was important to have Dr. Waters on the line, because there are so many unanswered questions. There are so many things that we don't think about. And even with the centers where they're serving meals now, is this being done at specific high schools, or is it being done at Commerce? Is it being done in other places where they're serving the meals, and how many times a day?
Can you repeat the last piece of the question?
Yeah, the meal program. I know you stated something about the meal program. Is that happening at Commerce High School? Is it various high schools around the city? And is it three times a day? Is it twice a day?
So it's various high schools around the city. The High School of Commerce just so happens to be a site. We have a great staff there ready to feed you. So the meal pickup is between 11 and 1 o'clock. You come there, you get a fresh meal. You don't have to show any type of ID. They just give you tell how many kids you have in your family, and we just give you the food. We also give out fresh produce boxes with, like, fresh vegetables and fresh fruit that you just take, no questions asked. And then on the weekends, they send you home with enough food to cook on the weekend. So we are, the district is doing a really good job. Shout out to Sodexo for doing a really great job to make sure that we're feeding our families. So the High School of Commerce is one site. You could look on the Springfield Public Schools website and find out where all the other sites are. But across the city, any kid in Springfield, any family in Springfield will be able to have access to fresh food and vegetables and meals.
Wow. Voices on Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Now, let's touch on something here. I know that I was talking to someone recently, and we were discussing where there's, and this is a little off subject here, but it's pertaining to the students. This is pertaining to the students, where a student, they may have their goal, they have their dream, something that they're passionate about, but their parent wants them to do something else. Have you faced those discussions? And if so, how do you handle it? So let's say if a student is really into the sciences and he wants to do something, but he has, you know, his parents, they want him to be, let's say, a football player. He has no interest in it, but they're pushing him to do it. and you're seeing this in this in the student, how difficult is it? Because for the majority of the day, these students are with you and your staff. So how does that conversation go? Because, you know, it seems very difficult at times when the parent is insisting that the kid does this. And does that affect them? If you've had this experience, does that affect them on the academic side where the grades will start to slip because they have so much pressure on them from the parent? I don't know if you've ever been faced with that.
So we have experienced that a lot just because you don't know what you don't know. Oftentimes when I talk to students and families, like many kids want to go into the health field mm-hmm. and they want to be a nurse. And we at the High School of Commerce this year, this fall, we're going to be rolling out our pathways, which we have three pathways that students could pick. We have Health and Human Services, Information Technology, and Advanced Manufacturing. So every young scholar who will be entering the High School of Commerce in the ninth grade will be taking a ninth grade Pathways to Exploration course. Mm-hmm. And this course is really designed to take a deep dive into the three different pathways that we have to offer. So the students will be doing hands-on project-based learning activities. Myself and my design team, we came up with our progression plans for our pathways. So the students will take a deep dive into all three pathways. They'll learn about what advanced manufacturing is, what type of jobs you could get in this field. They'll look at the labor market of, you know, if I get into this field, do I need to get a college education? Can I just opt into a certificate program, get a trade? What would my starting salary be if I was to get into this field? So we teach them all of those things in the ninth grade with the goal of them being able to pick a pathway for grade 10. And in grade 10, they do a deep dive into the pathway that they pick. And then from grade 10, starting as early as grade 10, we partner with Springfield Technical Community College, where students have the opportunity to participate in a dual enrollment course with a first-year experience course. And in that course, they'll take a deep dive into six different pathways in applied fields courses that they could take. And from there, they'll be able to take dual enrollment courses. So the way we are able to kind of help families kind of unpack the different career fields is by being intentional about the different pathways that we offer and providing them with exposures. So the High School of Commerce, we also have a program called FACES, where it's educating families about like what it's like to transition into high school, what's expected of a high school student, what's expected of the parents, what services do we provide, what different programs we provide. We try our best to educate our families about the different things that we have offered at the High School of Commerce. So that's kind of how we navigate that, to kind of help the students learn how to dream about different jobs outside of stuff that they're used to. Mm-hmm. So that's one way that we do it. We never want to discourage anyone from like wanting to be like a basketball player or a football player,
right,
or going and being a doctor or a scientist, but we want to provide them with opportunities to learn about different pathways.
Exactly.
So personalized. Each kid gets their own personalized pathway.
Mm.
And at the High School of Commerce, we are committed and dedicated to educating our scholars from ninth grade and beyond. So from high school and beyond, because right after you, you know, complete high school, you have the opportunity to opt into our postgraduate program, where again, you're taking your freshman year of college credits with a bunch of supports and wraparound services. And we're the first one to do it.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations on that. This is a
thank you.
Very big program. Now, here's something that I actually had this discussion with my mother years ago. And I was talking about, you know, financial literacy. What I found is that there's very little teaching of financial literacy, if any, even in the college front. Do you think that that should be a part of the curriculum in high school? Because
absolutely.
Because here's the reason why I ask. When you go off to college, one thing that you'll see and it's posted on, I don't even know if it's still posted on the poster boards there, but they would have all types of applications for credit cards. everything. And so I can admit I was one of those students, and I was like, oh, really? I could get this. I could get that. So it was kind of like credit card. And I didn't have the resources to pay them off. And mm-hmm. I didn't need my parents to sign for anything. So imagine trying to explain that to them. It's like, okay, I have these hundreds of dollars in bills. And I didn't talk to you about it beforehand, but I need to talk to you now because it's time to pay it. And they're already struggling to pay for me to go to school. So I think it should be a part of the curriculum, because that's also a part of preparing. That's also, I feel, a part of preparing kids for college, kids for school, and kids for the real world. Because, I mean, I don't even know how to say it. Well, these credit card companies, they're almost like predators. They know it's going to be these young, unsuspecting kids in the school. So it's like, let's flash these credit cards. Hey, you could get $500 here. You get $600 there. And they get it, and they have no sense of budgeting or anything like that. And it's just like, oh, man, I'm going to get this. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to get this. And then they've maxed out in about 2 weeks. And it's like, apply for another one. Before you know it, before they even finish the first semester, their credit is in the toilet. So I think it's interesting, or I think it should be a requirement that there's more of an emphasis on financial literacy, even at the high school level.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, because many of our students don't know a lot about financial literacy, as far as, like, you know, getting a credit card. Should I buy a house? How can I buy a house? Student loans, which is the number one thing that many students face, including myself, like paying back loans and understanding it. Ooh. So I do think that it should be incorporated. Now, I had the opportunity to participate in the Wesleyan Upper Bound program.
Yep.
In Middletown, Connecticut. I'm a Upper Bound alum.
I am too, from Hartford. Trinity College Upper Bound, awesome. Yes.
Yeah. So Upper Bound really, really changed my life as far as, like, me having an understanding of how much it would cost to go to college. Should I apply for scholarships? What scholarship should I apply for? Should you take that extra student loan money? It's not free money, even though they give it to you. Should I cash that refund check, or should I just give it back so I don't have to pay for it later? Like, Upper Bound taught me all of those things. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated from the Upper Bound program, they hired me in 2004 to work with students, mentoring and being a facilitator with them and kind of helping them along their journey and their path. So being able to provide the students with that level of education, like the importance of understanding about borrowing money, like, that's super important.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that they should bring that into schools, and they should utilize it in other programs other than Upper Bound.
And
should bring it in a regular school curriculum.
Absolutely. And it's Voices on Hot 93.7. Big man here. I have Dr. Jada Waters on the line. And here's a statement that I'm going to make. I mean, I'm not asking you to agree with it or not.
Okay.
Because I told you before, sometimes I tend to sway away from politically correct. But I just feel like this is something that we need to, as parents, take on. All right. Mm-hmm. If we don't know, don't get frustrated in not knowing. Because just like we're expecting our kids to learn certain things, we should take the time to learn some of this stuff, too. I mean, even with this distance learning and learning from home and doing this, you know, if the kids are online, don't be afraid to look over their shoulder. You know, okay, what are you doing here? Wait a minute. What's that? Because someone, please help me with this new math. Help me understand this. This new math is, help me. Yes. But, no, honestly, I think, okay, if we can't stay in the cycle of I don't know, all right,
yep.
If you're going to expect your kids, you know, and this is when things open back up, when they come home, if you're going to expect them in the evening to, you know, hey, go to your room, do your homework, if there's some things that you don't know, all right, then you should read along with them. Read along with them. I mean, I get it. You know, I had my time in high school. I had my time. But every day to me is a day to learn something new. And I think one thing that I learned through this pandemic is that we should never be closed to learning new things. Because the entire world, or this entire country, had to learn new ways of doing everything. Some good, some bad. But it made you tap into having to learn something. And I think we get to a point where, well, if it's not going to bring me money in the end, I don't need to know it. And so you close your mind to those things, but that's not necessarily helping the children because they're leaning on you. They're looking for you to know certain things. And it's like, I don't know. I can't be of a help. And there's nothing wrong with sitting down learning together. There's nothing sitting down and learning together. And I think that's where it becomes a headache because sometimes these kids are asking us questions and we don't know the answer. And it becomes frustrating. And it's like, oh, they got to get them back in school. I don't know how to answer this. I don't know how to answer that. But sometimes it might help to sit down and go over the lesson again together. That's just my two cents. That's my two cents. That's okay. I tried to be politically correct with it because I wanted to say it a different kind of way.
You did an amazing job. I know exactly what you are trying to say. And I'm just keep it real honest with you. And I'm going to speak about my own personal experience. Mm-hmm. So, at 23 years old, I enrolled in a doctoral program. Mm-hmm. I didn't have as much experience as many of my peers who were in a doctoral program with me. There was a lot of gaps. Some people had 23 years experience as an educator, and here I am, kind of fresh out of a master's program, saying I'm going to earn my doctorate degree.
Wow.
And that first year, I failed miserably.
Mm.
I failed miserably because I was too afraid to stand up and say, look, I don't really understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time managing my time. Instead, I avoided, right? I avoided, I didn't engage, and I didn't ask for help. And then I took a stand and was like, you know what? I need to create a platform and a space for myself because I deserve to be here. I deserve to be here. I deserve a seat at the table, right? So I started connecting with different people, being honest and transparent about what I did and did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the reading and I did the YouTubing and I did the phone calls here and there. Like, can you help me? Can you mentor me? Using my social collateral to kind of get the things that I needed. So one of the things I encourage people to do, like educators to do, anybody to do, right? You need to be willing to share your power and share information with people. Because knowledge and power and sharing it is really, really important. And for those of you who know me, you know for a fact that if I learn about anything in the community, you're going to know about it too. I'm telling you about it. My daughter's participated. Here, your daughter could participate too. Your son could participate too. Let me let you know about these free programs that's going on. Like with my Gateway to College students, shout out to all of my Gateway to College graduates who are listening. And I love them. They empowered and inspired me to be the educator that I am today. I remember being a parent with some of my parents, and we would share and teach each other things about good parenting. So, like, it's okay if you don't know something.
Mm-hmm.
But I put the onus on everyone who's listening. You have to commit yourself to being a lifelong learner. It's okay not to know something. But we who do know the things, we need to create a space for people to be vulnerable, and we need to create a space for people to feel comfortable enough to say, I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. And this is when I talk about like meeting people where they are without judgment.
Wow. Powerful.
I'm the first person in my family. I'm the first person in my immediate family to graduate from high school, to go on to college, to be a homeowner. I'm the first in my immediate family to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have a very supportive family. Shout out to the Waters and the Olivers. I know you guys are listening. Thank you for always supporting me, my search family. Thank you for always supporting me and believing in me. But like, if I feel like if I could do it, my goal in life is to show other people the way, to empower, inspire whoever I can by sharing my knowledge with people. This is what I spent my career doing. This is what I spent my work doing, especially for women. I did a doctoral research study on young women dropouts and their re-engagement experience, because there's not a lot of research about young women dropouts. Like, we're invisible. Women of color, sometimes we are so invisible, right? So I wanted to create a space where we're not invisible, where people are allowing us to tell our stories and to share what our experiences are. So I think it's important for us to, one, meet people where they are without any judgment and be willing to share information. That's the only way we're going to empower and uplift the community. Absolutely. Me holding on to information is not empowering, nor is it helping my community.
Ooh, Lord, say it again. Listen. All right, it's Voices. It's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. And what you just said right there hit the nail on the head. And for any young person who's listening, understand this. There is no such thing as a bad question. The bad question is the one that's not asked, because you never find the right answer to it. There is nothing wrong with asking a question on something you don't know. That's for young and old. If you don't know, don't be ashamed or afraid to ask. And what you said speaks to the other part of that. If we know something and someone asks us, why not share the information? We have to get out of this bubble of, oh, I went through the struggle, so you have to go through it too. You went through the struggle so that you could put yourself in position to reach a hand back and help the next person up, and they do the same. That's what you do with passing a blessing on. You can't truly be blessed with what you have until you passed it on to help someone else. And that's where a lot of people drop the ball. They feel like, it's my information, I have it, I'm not telling anyone else, I don't want to see them go past where I am. You know, they might take it and they might go further than me. So what?
Mm-mm.
So what? Right. You're a part of this success story.
Right.
So.
And that's why I'm thankful for like all of my students, every student that I ever worked with from 2004 up into the present. Like, if it wasn't for you all, like, allow me to be a part of your journey, I would not be the woman, the educator, the mother that I am today. So I'm forever grateful and indebted to my kids.
Well, you know what?
That I've worked with.
I really want to thank you first and foremost, Dr. Waters, for reaching out to me and expressing interest in being a part of the show. All right. And secondly, for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, and everything that you're going to continue to do for your school community and for the community as a whole. Any closing words for anyone who may want to reach you and find out more about the programs that you have going on?
Absolutely. So you can reach me on my social media page, Facebook. I don't have any other pages yet, but they will soon be coming. You can reach me at Data Waters on Facebook. My email address is drdrperes15@icloud.com, or just hit me up on Facebook. You can inbox me and or friend request me. I'll be more than willing to talk to you, give you information, resources in the community, whatever you need. I'm here to support in any way possible to inspire, empower, a listening ear, words of encouragement. Like, if I could provide that to someone, I would be more than happy to do so. I would like to thank you, big man, for, you know, empowering the people every Sunday, taking time out of your day to empower the people, because this is inspirational. It's encouraging people, it's giving back to the community to provide them with resources that they need. We need to come together as a community to support one another, love on one another, and be kind to one another. Like, we have to do that in order for us to get better, especially during this pandemic.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. And hopefully this won't be the last time that we'll have you on the show, especially as the school year gets going. I want to get some updates. All right. And we'll continue from there. So, Dr. Waters, continued success to you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to thank you in advance. Yeah.
Can I ask you for a favor? Can I just give a shout out? My daughter would kill me if I didn't give her a shout out. Can I give a shout out
to
my daughter, London? London, I love you. And I do all of this for you. I'm leaving this legacy for you. And to my niece, Kimani, who's listening. And to all my family and friends, like, I love you all. I know you're listening. You've been hitting me up to the Springfield community, like, thank you for embracing me and welcoming me in the Springfield community, because I'm not from Springfield. I'm from Middletown. To my Middletown community, who's always supported me. Thank everyone. I like your support, like the power of the A has really helped me get to where I am today. So I appreciate it.
All right. And with that being said, thank you so much. This has been Voices. It's Hot 93.7. Sunday School is up next. Keep it right here. It's Hot 93.7.
Wendy's famous 4 for 4 is hitting.